Our second scripture reading today comes from Genesis 21, 8 through 20. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman and her son, for the son of this slave woman should not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was so distressing to Abram on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For it is through Isaac that the offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulders along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the sky was gone, she cast the child under one of the bush. Then she went and sat down opposite him and gave a good way off, about a distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And she sat opposite him. She lifted her voice and wept. But God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert in the bow. Holy wisdom, holy word. There are a number of reasons why I wanted to preach on Hagar today. One of them being that we have a class that we've been doing on, we just started this Wednesday, on loving your Muslim neighbor. And I thought it would be important for us to remember that the religion of Islam is an Abrahamic faith. There's three Abrahamic faiths: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And so it's important for us to remember that we're all connected. We're kind of cousins, if you will. The other reason I wanted to speak about Hagar is because this Wednesday was also International Women's Day. A day where we, that was awesome. It was, and it is a day we remember the importance of women in this world and the fact that often the role of a woman has been oppressed, that women have been oppressed and pushed and held back in a number of ways. Don't get me wrong, I am very thankful for the amazing women and many of you that are in this room that have come before me and paved the path for me to even be standing in front of you preaching the word of God. And so I hold that day very dearly. And Hagar represents an amazing woman who is often overlooked. She's often overlooked, seen as a distraction from the story of Abraham by commentators, seen as kind of just this rabbit trail of the scriptures. Seems to connect. And our nation today happens to be in a state of fear, it feels like, when it comes to our Muslim brothers and sisters. And that breaks my heart. So I wanted to tell you the story today of Hagar, because she is really the grandmother of Islam. And we get to have a piece of that, of connection with this faith through her. And so she actually has a lot of firsts in the biblical text. She is also the epitome of the foreigner, the immigrant, the slave, the outsider. She is an Egyptian woman who was taken into slavery, taken from her home, and forced to be the slave of Sarah. At the time, and if we go way back and give some context, in Genesis 16, when it's Sarai and Abram, before the promise is, the covenant is officially taken, she is this amazing woman who, or this slave girl who's been taken, and out of Sarai's own anxiety, is thrown into an even more dysfunctional family. Sarai is an older woman who has been promised that she will help bear a nation, and yet she is barren. And out of her own anxiety and desire to control the situation, she throws Hagar into a very uncomfortable position of being a slave wife to Abraham. Normally, in this type of relationship, the woman that bears the first son becomes the most powerful wife in the family. Yet, because of this uncomfortable dynamic of Hagar being a slave, Abraham has all power and authority to give the power of the first wife, if you will, to whomever he likes. And he favors Sarah and gives her all of that power. Now, when Hagar gets pregnant, Sarah is livid. Her jealousy overtakes her, and she's frustrated, and she literally starts to physically abuse Hagar. And Abram just says, "Do what you want. She's your slave." And he relinquishes all control and connection he has with his slave wife. Not really the best setup for Hagar. Now, what's amazing is that Hagar has courage. It takes courage to choose to get out of an abusive situation. It takes bravery. And she runs and flees to the wilderness. Out of her own volition, she runs and is not seeking for anyone, but just seeking for release from this abusive situation. And she's a young girl who's pregnant, wandering the wilderness alone. So, we're still in Genesis 16 now. We have a young girl thrown into a very dysfunctional family who's a slave, who's a woman, who is a woman of color, and pretty much the lowest rung of any social ladder of her time. And the divine seeks her out. She wasn't looking for the messenger of the Lord. The messenger of the Lord came to her. A big question that we have been asking pretty consistently over the last year, 2 years, as certain things have been claimed over television and through our various different social media outlets, is how do we treat the foreigner? How do we treat the immigrant? How do we treat the refugee? I believe that as a follower of Christ, that the Holy Scriptures reveal to us ways in which we can engage in the world. And God sets an example for how we are to engage in the world. And then with Hagar, in the beginning of this story, the divine seeks out the runaway slave. And he says this. "Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? Now, she doesn't really give, she never really learned how to, like, complete the answer like you did when you were little, where it's like you start the answer with the beginning of the question. You know, she kind of goes rogue and does not, and answers the question by saying, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah. Which expresses this idea that she has no idea where she's going. She has no understanding of where her future will be. And she just needs to flee, which is fitting because Hagar means to flee or fugitive. Now, the part that's confusing for me in this beginning of her story is that the divine sends her back to the oppressor. And my heart breaks because I don't want anyone to be in the hands of their oppressor. I want freedom to come from that. Yet this does two things. As we've said, Hagar was a young, pregnant girl in the wilderness with no future, no supplies, nothing to keep her alive. So sending her back into the hands of Sarah and Abram actually keeps her alive. It actually allows her son to also have a relationship with his father. For it was 14 years before Isaac was actually born. And so Ishmael, her son, was able to have a relationship with Abraham, and Abraham was actually able to fall in love with his son. Best scenario that I would hope for Hagar? Not exactly. But it kept her alive. And also, the divine sends her back with hope and a promise. The promise that this son of hers is going to start a nation that is it's bigger than anyone can count. I believe it says, you are now pregnant and you will birth a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. Well, what it says is, I pinky swear, that your descendants will be larger than anyone can count, which is very similar to the same promise that God gave Abram and Sarah, that your descendants will be as many as the sky, as the stars in the sky. She is the only woman in the biblical text that is given this type of promise. A promise that her descendants will start a nation. Come on, guys, that's amazing. The foreigner, the slave wife, is the one that is given this promise. Now we fast forward to when Isaac is born in the passage that we've been working out of, that I read earlier. And we hear now that Hagar is not voluntarily going into the wilderness, but Hagar is being thrown into the wilderness. I don't know about you, but personally, I have had moments where I felt like I was thrown in the wilderness. Moments where nothing seems to make sense. Everything is frustrating. Maybe some of you feel that way about the political scene. Maybe some of you don't, and we can still be friends. But we have all had times of wilderness, and this is her involuntary time of wilderness. Hagar and her son are out in the wilderness again, not looking for the divine, but again, the divine seeks her and says, hey, what's going on? Why are you upset? Hello, we don't have any water, the kid's gonna die, I'm tired, I've been in, you know, an abusive family dynamic for the last 14 years, you said you were gonna make a promise. Guess what? Hagar's future is in the wilderness. Hagar's beginning of this nation is in the wilderness. They live in Beersheba, and they they live in the desert of Paran, and she finds her son a wife, and it is the birth of the Arabs, and from there, Islam is created. I think that means that the promise came to fruition. So we take a look, we take a moment, and we go, how does God treat the foreigner? Well, in Hagar's situation, he blesses her. He shows her compassion. It reveals to us that God's desire for redemption and deliverance and salvation is way bigger than we could ever understand. It is beyond a specific elect line of Abraham because God blessed Hagar's line as well. God provides an example for humanity to be compassionate to those who are different and considered the minority and considered the foreigner. Hagar proved herself to be an amazing woman of faith, a faith for her future, for the future of her son, and for the future of the nation she was promised. Hagar's faith was stronger than Sarah's. It was stronger than Abraham's. She suffered and waited for 14 years for God's promise to come. And to our knowledge, unswervingly. As followers of God, we need to follow God's footprints of compassion. When we encounter the stranger, the one who is different, the homeless person on the street, the refugee, the immigrant, the LGBTQ community, we are to bless. We are to persevere through the trials before us and bless as Hagar did. Her blessing did not discount the life circumstances that were before her, and yet she persevered. Often, as Christians, we read the biblical text and we forget what side of the story we're on. We're the Gentiles. I heard a giggle, but no, it's real. Like, we are the Gentiles in this story. We are the stranger. We are the other. We are the foreigner. And we have the responsibility to express the compassion and grace and forgiveness to all those around us just as it was expressed to us. Our faith is not a weapon to be used as for harm or pain. When it comes to the current events of otherness around us, we need to follow the example that God sets by extending compassion and blessing. So the question we have today for our congregation is, how do we continue to do that? We have that flag that's out there to remind people that we are a safe place. How do we as a community continue to be a safe place for those that are considered minority, for those that are considered the foreigner, the outsider, the immigrant, the refugee? That is the question that we get to muddle through and figure out together. And I am really thankful to be in a community that is willing to get messy with this question and be uncomfortable sometimes. And be frustrated sometimes with each other, but all out of compassion and love for each other to express God's compassion, love, and blessing to those around us. When it comes to the current events of otherness around us, we need to follow the example that God sets by extending compassion and blessing. Amen.